Shavuot. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernovsky, and this show is primarily for the holiday of Shavuot, secondarily for Shabbat Parshat Naso, but that's only in Eretz Yisrael, only in the land of Israel, where we have one day of Shavuot. Outside of Israel, where 2 days of Shavuot are celebrated, this Friday and Shabbat are both Shavuot, and Parshat Naso is not read till next week. I really am not intending to do too much or even anything about Naso, but I want people to know, wherever you are listening, that there is a difference between the way the holiday is celebrated in Israel as a single day based on the Torah's declaration that it is a single day, and the special situation for everywhere else where 2 days of Chag are observed. The first is officially the one that the Torah commands. The second one is based on rabbinic command and tradition called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, the second day of a holiday in exile. And the way that I like to explain it, which does include an intentional needle of certain people who live in Chutz La'aretz, is like this. The Torah said that Shavuot is a single day. There is a historic reason for there being 2 days of Shavuot outside of Israel. It has to do with a technicality of not distinguishing from other holidays, which were dependent upon notification of when Rosh Chodesh was, and in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, in the olden times, notification did not reach communities in time to know which day of 2 possible days to celebrate certain holidays, so the tradition and law became to celebrate 2 days. If that's confusing, you don't have to even remember it at this moment, because my point is that in our time and in the future, when we resume the Sanhedrin's sanctification of Rosh Chodesh based on eyewitness testimony to the first visibility of the lunar crescent, there will be worldwide notification of when Rosh Chodesh is with almost no delay. Instantaneous broadcast of the proclamation of the Nasi of the Sanhedrin as to when Rosh Chodesh is. So the origin of 2 days observance of holidays outside of Israel is an anachronism which is maintained by traditional Jews because of a concept called Minhag Avotenu Biyadenu. The practices of our ancestors are in our hand, and we don't yet have the ability to reevaluate and perhaps change certain of the rabbinic decrees. Be that as it may, the concept of 2 days Yom Tov outside of Israel has picked up another connotation. And I think this is the one that I'm referring to when I said it is intended as a little bit of a needle at certain people. The Torah says Shavuot is 1 day. and in Israel, even today, without a Beit HaMikdash, because of the quality of the observance of the festival, let's say, because of the environment in the land of Israel, you, even today, one day is what we do. Outside of Israel, one has to create an atmosphere of festival in an alien environment. And I don't care how religious certain communities are in different places, in New York or elsewhere around the world, they are still in a non-Jewish environment. Israel is a Jewish environment. The ability to invest the holiday with its proper sanctity takes twice as much effort, takes 2 days of observance outside of Israel compared to the way it's done here. Now, I know that that's a very subjective thing for me to say, living here almost 28 years, thrilled and delighted to be in the place where God wants the Jewish people to be and wants the Torah to be observed. And I think it is a fitting reminder of one's not living here that one has to work twice as hard by celebrating each Chag for 2 days in order to compensate or overcome the alien environment. This is not at all a halachic presentation of this issue. This is a very subjective one that I am giving. I believe very much that it has picked up this character in our time, and it helps explain why we would perpetuate something that I referred to as anachronistic. And I think that it's an important thing to keep in mind. Part of the atmosphere that I'm talking about is when national television in Israel advertises a special flavor of a yogurt cheesecake for Shavuot, when houseware stores sell crepe pans for making blintzes for Shavuot, when stores increase their supplies of cheeses and bakeries their cheesecakes, and TV shows one after the other recipes for all of the festival foods, you feel the atmosphere in the air. You shop in the markets and you know, you're very aware for many, many days in advance that a holiday is coming. This is certainly so with all the others, maybe a little less so for this one day Shavuot, but it is still felt in the air. All of that was a pot shot, if you want to call it, and not a needle, at Jews who still live in Chutz La'aretz. The fact. Recording and first broadcast is Erev Yom Tov, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 5th of Sivan, 5769, May 28th. It is Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shavuot. Last night we counted 49 days of the Omer, 7 full weeks. And that's it. And kol hakavod to anyone who went all the way through without missing a day. And for those who did miss, better luck next year. And Thursday night is Leil Shavuot, which we'll talk about. In Israel, Thursday night and Friday is the Chag. Friday night Shabbat is a regular Shabbat. It happens to be Isru Chag, the day after Shavuot, but it is regular Parshat HaShavua, as I mentioned. Outside of Israel, Shavuot runs 2 days. The practical differences are we do all of the Shavuot observances on Friday, Thursday night, Friday, and in Chutz La'aretz there are certain things that are done on the second day. For example, the reading of the book of Rut, Megillat Rut. For example, the saying of Yizkor. Those are two that come to my mind right away. Before we forget, Psalm 121, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph, Shir Lama'alot Esa Einai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hinei Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yeminecha. Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakeka V'yoreach Baloila. Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra Yishmoret Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmor Tzeitecha Uvoecha Me'ata V'ad Olam. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanetunim Batzara Uvashivya Ha'omidim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem V'yotziyem Mitzara L'Yervacha U'me'afela L'ora U'mishibud L'geula Hashta Ba'agala U'vizman Kariv V'nomar Amen. Esa Einai, this Psalm 121 is also part of Kiddush Levana, so I am reminded of the fact that those who follow Minhag Yerushalayim, based on the teachings of the Vilna Gaon, also known as the Gra, will have said Kiddush Levana already Wednesday night, as I did. Those who follow the more traditional custom to wait until after Shavuot will be doing Kiddush Levana on Motzoi Shabbat, which is also Motzoi Yom Tov outside of Israel, Saturday night. Those who wait a full 7 days following the Molad will do their Kiddush Levana first on Sunday night, May 31st. So I would imagine most people who say Kiddush Levana have not yet said it this month. A minority relative to the Kiddush Levana saying population of the world, a minority said it already. We in Yerushalayim had a beautiful, clear view of the lunar crescent last night, and it was easy to see it and to say Kiddush Levana. And that's that part of the story. I would like to play a track from an album called Taste of Yom Tov, the Shavuot album. It is not a Shavuot song, but it is a Torah song. And being a Torah song, it makes it a Shavuot song. If Shavuot is Zman Matan Toratenu, which it is, the time of the receiving of the Torah, and that's a major factor and facet of our celebration of Shavuot, then Torah is the main occupation, vocation, avocation, I'm not sure of all of the connotations of these words, of a Torah traditional Jew. Every morning we say Birchot HaTorah, blessings which cover all learning of Torah, study of Torah, teaching of Torah, and Torah activity in the course of one's day. And part of the opening bracha of La'asok B'divrei Torah is a very beautiful passage within that blessing, which is called V'ha'arevna. In English, please, Hashem, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths and in the mouths of your people, the house of Israel, so that we, our descendants and their descendants, and the descendants of your people, the house of Israel, may all know your name and study your Torah for its own sake. V'ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu et divrei Toratcha b'finu u'b'fi amecha Beit Yisrael v'nichye anachnu v'tze'etzo'enu v'tze'etzo'e amacha beit Yisrael kulanu yode'ei shemecha v'lomedei toratecha lishma. It is, as I said, the bottom line, the quintessential observance to immerse oneself in the study of Torah. There is a special custom of staying up all night on Leil Shavuot to learn Torah. There are many, many things that are said about a person who spends the night rather than sleeping immersed in the study of Torah. We at the Israel Center have an all-night program, as we've had for many, many years, and it possibly was the very, very first program of the center about 30 years ago when it started, but we certainly have been doing it strongly. We have at the center davening, tefillah, prayer, followed by a festive meal. That's with people who sign up. And then throughout the night, shiur after shiur, Torah study, in all places within the center, in the Beit Midrash, in the library, for those who don't want to attend classes, and classes all the way till the beginning of the services in the morning. But I am talking about all facets of Torah learning, complete. So listen to V'Harevna, and then we'll talk some more.
Hashem Eloi Keinu, as the
Rosh Hashanah with the shofar, Sukkot with lulav and etrog and the sukkah, Pesach with its matzah, Chanukah with its candles, Purim with its megillah. Shavuot is known for its not having a specific mitzvah symbol because it is the celebration of the receiving of the Torah. And the Torah is the whole thing. Nonetheless, Shavuot is not without its traditions. And even though they don't equal the mitzvot that I mentioned about the other holidays, they do play an important role, as we will see after a short break.
I'm Rod Sterling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
We're talking about Shavuot. I want to put a certain focus here. I've been talking up till now about Torah. Zman Matan Torah, Tenu, the time of the receiving of the Torah, of the giving of the Torah. And that is certainly a very major, significant aspect of Shavuot. It is not the only aspect of Shavuot. In fact, from a Torah perspective, the date of the receiving of the Torah is not given in the Torah. I take that back. The specific date is not associated with the holiday of Shavuot, even though it is, but the official designation of Shavuot is as the agricultural holiday of Yom HaBikurim and Chag HaKatzir, and the bringing of the two loaves from the first wheat of the season, and the Zman Matan Toratenu sort of overtook all other aspects of Shavuot, especially over the many years of exile, without a focus on agricultural mitzvot and practices, in the land of Israel, and Torah came into exile together with the Jewish people and stayed with them wherever they may be. That aside, I would like to focus on Shavuot not as its own independent holiday, which it is, but as the culmination of Pesach, which it is also. Pesach celebrates, commemorates, marks the Exodus from Egypt. Shavuot marks, commemorates, represents the culmination of God's plan of taking the people out of Egypt. God says to Moshe at the burning bush, a sign that it is I who am sending you into Egypt to take the people out, I will go down. I'm mixing two things up. God says to Moshe, I will go down into the land and take the people out to a good and spacious land, the land flowing of milk and honey, the land of Israel. He says, as a sign that it is I who sent you into Egypt to take the people out, you will return to this spot, which tradition tells us was Mount Sinai, and serve me here, which tradition interprets as receive the Torah and make the commitment to God. Double plan. God had in mind, and it repeats it over and over again in the Torah. I'll take you out of Egypt to bring you to the land of Israel, giving you the Torah on the way, that Torah to be lived by all of you in the land of Israel. Pesach commemorates the Exodus from Egypt. Shavuot is the receiving of the Torah, and with its name of Yom HaBikurim, it is also the coming to Eretz Yisrael, the building of a Beit HaMikdash, and the, quote, living happily ever after, the fulfillment of God's plan, which began with his taking us out of Egypt. We, the Jewish people, were the cause of certain kinks in this plan, the delay in getting into Eretz Yisrael, the rejection of Torah time and again, the worship of idols and throughout the Tanakh period, the ups and downs of Jewish history as far as Torah is concerned and as far as the land of Israel is concerned. But that doesn't change the plan, and it doesn't change the way we should look at Shavuot, and, as I started to say before, many of the customs reflect these aspects of what Shavuot is. In lieu of there being a specific mitzvah symbol, we have the traditions. Decorating the home and the synagogue with leaves or branches, and some use flowers. This is both a reminder of Mount Sinai. Tradition tells us that this barren mountain in the Sinai wilderness sprouted green all over it for the occasion of God's divine presence coming down upon it to give us the Torah. And Yom Bikurim, the day that begins the Bikurim bringing season, the baskets of Bikurim that were adorned with all kind of flowers and other kind of things. And that's tied in with the agricultural aspect as well as the Torah aspect. The eating of dairy foods, I don't know how much time we're going to have to discuss that, but there is an aspect of Torah related to that, of course, and that comes in various different forms. The word chalav is numerically equal to 40, which represents the 40 days and nights that Moshe spent on Har Sinai receiving the Torah. You have the idea that it was the Torah that taught the people about the laws of milk and meat and requiring them to wait for getting their act together as far as ritual slaughter and koshering of the meat and purging of the vessels. So they would have dairy dishes, dairy foods, only until they were able to be able to keep them properly separated. That's one of the explanations as to why dairy. It's tied in with the Shtei HaLechem. Also, it is tied in with Bikurim. Twice in the Torah, it says, Reshit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, Lo Tevashel Gedi Bachalev Imo, you shall not cook meat with milk. So there is a tie-in to Torah, there's a tie-in to the agricultural side of Shavuot with that custom. Of course, the tradition of staying up all night and learning, and this is qualified based on a person's ability to do this. Staying up at night and fooling around the whole night is counterproductive. Staying up all night and even studying Torah can be counterproductive if it makes a terrible davening in the morning and a shmata during the day and no simchat yom tov. But these are things that we can't get very, very much into at this moment. Before I continue, I want to play another track from A Taste of Shavuot, A Taste of Yom Tov, the Shavuot edition. And this one is taken from the prayers, the Musaf of every Yom Tov, but it shows another facet in addition to the focus on Torah. It's V'korev Pizureinu Mibein HaGoyim, gather the scattered remnant of Israel from the four corners of the earth, of the world, and bring them back to the land of Israel. This is very much appropriate to Shavuot because of the double theme of Shavuot, which is Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Many reasons that are given for having dairy dishes on Shavuot, for having both dairy and meat dishes on Shavuot, with proper separation, of course. I would like to suggest, I don't know if you could call it another reason, but perhaps a way of understanding why it developed and developed and continued as such a major association of Shavuot. Shavuot, Zman Matan Toratenu, the time of the receiving of the Torah. The Torah reading of Shavuot morning comes from Parshat Yitro in the book of Shemot, Exodus, and it begins with, in the third month, on the first day of the month, the people, following the Exodus, the people came to the Sinai wilderness, and then the story of Matan Torah unfolds. When the Torah reading is completed on Shavuot morning, you have a picture of Matan Torah, which includes the awesome experience of thunder and lightning and smoke and the sound of the shofar and God's revelation on Har Sinai and the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. But what you have in that is only a partial picture of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And here is my main point for this show. Lest one thinks, that the sum total of what God revealed to the people of Israel on Mount Sinai is the Ten Commandments, and even though that's actually the result of that one day we call Matan Torah, that was the engraved in stone laws that Moshe brought down from Mount Sinai. That is certainly a major focus. It is not the whole picture. The whole picture includes the 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe spent on Mount Sinai learning the entire Torah, and spent 40 years thereafter almost teaching the entire Torah to the people of Israel. An example may be the epitome, the model, the microcosm of all of Torah, is this very down-to-earth issue of milk and meat, food, basic need of the human being, of all animals. And here is an area of mitzvah and halacha, Jewish law, that is not mentioned in the Ten Commandments, that it is, I would be very hard put to find anything in the Aseret HaDibrot, to the Ten Commandments, to which I could tie the prohibition of milk and meat, and yet I want to say as unequivocally as possible, as powerfully as possible, the laws of milk and meat are no less part of the Torah which we received at Sinai than honor thy father and thy mother, than thou shalt not be any other gods before me, than Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Anything that's contained in the Aseret HaDibrot or the rest of the Torah is all part of what God revealed to the people of Israel at Sinai. So if you spend time eating dairy dishes, hopefully the topic will come up of why. And for that, there are many, many reasons brought down. You will find a nice selection of them in Torah Tidbits this week in the Shavuot pullout pages. But by by evolving into a focus on this issue of food, we end up with the laws of milk and meat, we end up being able to see a broader picture of Torah than the Ten Commandments allows us to see. Furthermore, honoring parents, keeping the Shabbat, not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, not coveting, are all reasonable kinds of laws which we can hear and we could say, I really can relate to that. I understand why God would command these things. Milk and meat is a very perplexing mitzvah. It is a chok, one of the classic mitzvot without clear reasons presented to us, with points in the details that tend to confuse us and tend to make us shrug our shoulders and say, I really don't understand the whole picture. And that's an important aspect of Torah. And using the milk and meat aspects of the customs of the foods which we eat as a springboard for a discussion of Torah in general, I'll tell you an advanced word. This is what I'm planning on doing in a shiur that I'm giving Leil Shavuot in Yamin Moshe, and I will touch upon it in shiurim that I am giving at the Israel Center as well, and I have in the past also. And I think it's a very good example to use. People could relate to it. It's not an esoteric kind of mitzvah. It is a very down-to-earth mitzvah, which deals with the food which we eat. And there are certain statements that you could make about it, which help understand our whole picture of the Torah. I hope I'm not being a little too oblique. I don't have the time to go into all of it, but I will say the following. There is a statement in Medrash Peliah, a collection of wondrous Midrashim, that says that when God dictated to Moshe, thou shalt not seethe a kid in its mother's milk, lo tevashel gidi b'chalevimo, and explained to Moshe the laws of milk and meat, Moshe asked God's permission to write, instead of gidi in the milk of its mother, to write basar b'chalav, meat in milk. God said to him, Ketav lecha et hadvarim ha'ele, you write these exact words that I am dictating. You explain to the people what it means, but the words stay this way in the writing, because this is the basis of the covenant between me and you and the Jewish people. One way that you could understand this is that the covenant includes the written word, the oral law and tradition, the links between them, and the belief that not just the Ten Commandments were given to by God at Sinai, but that the entire Torah was taught to us with the intention of our taking that Torah and applying it to our lives in its entirety. The written word, the oral law, the oral traditions, rabbinic legislation, it's a package deal. The laws of milk and meat show us that, and the application is for the entire Torah. I would like to finish the show with a song that actually comes from the prayers, which most synagogues do not say, the extra liturgical poetry, for the second day of Shavuot, which we don't even have here in Israel, but it is a song that is truly inspirational, Shiru Lashem. On this note, I wish you a Chag Sameach and a Shabbat Shalom and a very meaningful holiday of Shavuot. Yatav avanim shiru.
Ashrei Yaakov, Adonai Yaakov.